At the Sound Healing Center, we have four main things going on: the Institute, the Sound Healing Store, the Sound Therapy Center, and the Sound Healing Research Foundation. At Globe Institute, we offer two sound healing certificates and one audio recording certificate. All of them are also offered online, as well as in person here in Sausalito, outside of San Francisco. We're the only state-approved college in the entire United States that offers sound healing. David has written the number one selling books in both fields, The Art of Mixing, The Art of Recording, and in Sound Healing, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. The Sound Healing Store has over 400 sound healing instruments and technologies. We also have a physical store where you can experience everything. In the store, we've got over 100 CDs and downloads. We've got all of my books. We have a full range of instruments, including crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, didgeridoos, gongs, drums, rattles, tuning forks, and a full range of melodic instruments. We also have a wide range of consciousness-raising technologies, including sound chambers. We have sacred geometries and pendants, color and light therapies. We also have our brainwave assessment kit software and the voice analysis software. And we've got a full range of vibroacoustic tools. We make sound lounges, sound tables, sound vests, sound pillows, sound dolphins, and bass straps. All of these are excellent for a wide range of physical and emotional issues and just getting you relaxed and blissed out. At the Sound Therapy Center, we have over a dozen treatments that we offer here in Sausalito, and many of them we offer online. At the Sound Healing Research Foundation, you can find over 1,000 clinical and student papers categorized for easy searching. You will also find the Medical Sound Association with over 1,000 doctors and sound therapists meeting bi-monthly to create treatment plans for a wide range of issues. These 30-page treatment plans are an excellent resource if you're working on a specific issue for yourself or a client. Check out medicalsoundassociation.com, where you can also join and attend our bi-monthly meetings. Finally, we have the Sound Education Association. We got a grant for $100,000 to bring our curriculum into two Montessori schools. With over 100 teachers and administrators, we've created over 2,500 exercises for kids from 3 months up to 18 years, all based on the books on brain development. We're now expanding the curriculum and creating schools around the world. Check out soundeducationassociation.com, where you can also join for free. You can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. You can also email us at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call 415-777-2486. Now enjoy the podcast. Hi there, I'm David. Let me share some things that are going on at the Institute. We've got a sound bath going tomorrow with Ruby and myself at 5 o'clock if you happen to be in the area at the Institute in Sausalito. We also have an open house coming up on October 26th. It's all about how sound works physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And everybody gets to go on the sound table and sound lounge and get blissed out. We also have our in-person classes that just started. You could still jump in. And our online program starts this week. It starts every other week already, but you could start this week on the 30th or the 2nd of October. Our recording program just started last week, so you could jump into that as well. And then we have the voice analysis software training next week. If you want to buy the software and use it for your practice, we have the training next Sunday. So find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. So today's show is about research. We're going to get into how to do research, but especially what research would help the planet the most. Our intention is that we actually might be able to figure out how to heal every disease and open every heart on the planet. That's all. So we teach a research class, basically clinical research, in our advanced program, where everybody has to do a clinical study or mock clinical study. And so I've got a lot of ideas as to how to do research for sound healing, which is very difficult because there's so many frequencies. There's 20,000 frequencies, infinite frequencies if you count the decimal points. There's a gazillion sounds, which are a combination of frequencies. There's a gazillion musical flows. So to test very specifics in sound healing is really difficult. Anytime anybody says, "Oh, there's some research that proves this does this," I'm like, "Well, did you test all the other 20,000 frequencies?" I mean, because you can test one frequency and get some good results only because frequencies are stable, consistent vibrations, which are good no matter what. Any frequency is better than chaos. So they're often always good. But when you test them all, you can find the ones that are exactly for that specific issue, but it takes forever. Anthony Holland, that we'll be talking about, actually spent a year and a half testing frequencies, actually 10 years now. He's been 10 years he's been testing frequencies to explode cancer and come up with 15 frequencies that will destroy 15 different types of cancer. 10 years, right? Which is not a long time for getting rid of cancer completely. I mean, but it's not easy. It takes a lot of time and often a lot of money. And that's the big problem, is the money. There's the biggest problem is not only how much money it takes, but also how much time. If you're going to do a research project, I figure you should really do something that's going to help a lot of people in a big way. There's a research project at the Institute of Noetic Science. I was at their board meeting a few years ago, and they were all excited about this research project where they had done a study on medical intuitives working on carpal tunnel. And they had really cool physiological devices hooked up to the people to really see how effective it was. And then they got something like went from like 5 on a scale of 1 to 10 with the symptoms down to a 3.5, something like that. And I'm thinking, how is this going to help the world? Okay, maybe we show that medical intuitives are a little more effective. They actually are real, right? But it's like, is that going to save people's lives? Is it going to heal millions of people with carpal tunnel? No, not at all, right? It's like God, if you're going to spend a lot of time, do something that's really going to affect people. Same with John Stuart Reed, who I love. John's a great colleague. They did a whole study where they actually had a whole group of people on Zoom toning with an intention of love into a box that shows red blood cells, shows the number of red blood cells that are healthy. And he got it so that the red blood cell counter OD'd. It could not count the positive red blood cells anymore, which is incredible, right? It's so cool. He even had a group sing music into it as well. And it was really effective. It also overloaded the device. It's very cool, but how is that going to heal? I mean, again, it shows that our intention and our energy is really effective. And that's cool because a lot of people don't believe in that. But how many lives are we going to save with that? How many lives, right? It's really the whole deal is how can we help millions of people? And so we'll be talking about that in detail. The other problem with research is research that's not done well or extensively. There's a really good book by Lynn McTaggart called The Field. And she goes through about 100 different research projects that people have done for all different things, not around sound, maybe one or a few around sound. But it's really interesting because she talks about precisely what makes a good research project, a good protocol. The main thing, first thing that's obvious is the number of people that you test. I mean, there's a lot of research projects out there and that even get posted on Yahoo or get on into the media where they maybe tested, like 10 people, right? You got to really test like at least 100 people or more to really get a good a really good idea of as to whether it's really effective. Sometimes thousands of people you need to actually test. I mean, there's this one research study done with I think it was MIT University where they have people try to change the zeros and ones coming out of a computer. And if they do nothing over time, it averages out to about half and half. And they've now had over 1.4 million people do this test. And definitively, statistically, they've proven that you can absolutely change the zeros and ones coming out of a computer. That's a pretty cool project, even though it's not going to help a lot of people, right? People, I mean, maybe we could change our computer and keep it from dying or something. I don't know. But it's at least it was a good project. Well done project. The other really big problem is making actual projects that only test one variable. That's the problem with the human body. Is there's so many things going on, it's really hard to pin down one thing for being the actual reason for something going wrong in the body. It's really hard because, I mean, even your idea of the fact that you're being tested can affect it. I mean, it's like so hard to pin down an emotion or pin down a specific frequency. It's just so difficult, especially in sound healing, because let me put it this way. The projects, I would say, the things that are the most effective when you do sound healing on someone is when you use a lot of different instruments over a period of time, like an hour or two, right? So you do voice and crystal bowls, you do intention, you do a full range of instruments and maybe tuning forks, and often it's miracles happen over and over. I've seen it. It's incredible. But how do you know which one of those was the thing that did it? And if you start just testing one instrument, holy moly, there's 1,000 instruments. It's going to take forever. Not to mention if you're using tuning forks, all the different frequencies of the tuning forks, or the tuning of the instrument. It's so difficult. And even when you play the instrument, how can you play it without your energy behind it? It's your energy that often does the healing. Not only your intention, but just the type of energy and caring and focus that you actually bring to the session. It's so hard to pin things down, right? So to get things to there's one variable is really, really tricky. But here's the biggest problem of all with research projects. And that is the conceptual framework that you're actually basing your whole thing on as to what you're trying to prove. A lot of people will get into it in detail later, but when it comes to sound, a lot of people go, oh, let's prove this frequency. Well, if you've listened to my podcast, you know there's a lot of other realms other than just frequency. There's timbre, which is a combination of frequencies. For example, if you play all the different frequencies of the heart, the whole heart, the material of the heart, the fluids of the heart, the frequency of the cells, the frequency of at the atomic level, the frequency at the photon light level, the frequency at the electromagnetic level, and the quantum level, all of those frequencies together are going to be way more effective than one frequency for the heart. But even more effective is the musical flow going through the heart energetically when it actually does its spiral pump, right? And the energetic flow of music going through the circulatory system, not to mention the nervous system that's controlling the rhythm of the heart. I mean, oh my God, there's these whole musical flow systems that are way more important than the actual frequency. It's nice to work at all levels, at the frequency level and the flow level, but a lot of people aren't looking at the flow level at all. As I've said, if you don't have good, smooth musical flow through the nervous system, you're going to be shaky. If you don't have good, smooth flow through the meridian, it's a problem. So you can measure the acupuncture points. And when energy flows through a meridian, it's playing a melody, a very specific melody. Ba da da da, right? And you can actually put needles on the body and use frequencies electromagnetically and play that melody through the body. You could also use a full range of other levels of vibration as well. So the framework is a big deal. But even further, maybe the problem is the emotions that you're running. Maybe the problem is the something with the brain and the focus and your brain waves. But especially what people hardly ever talk about is what about your spiritual connection? What about your connection to nature and all the rhythms in nature? I mean, that could be huge as to why there's a problem. Are you running enough gratitude? Need to do a little more compassion, right? A little more love. Let's run a more, little more love, right? And what about the connection to your soul? I mean, when you connect to your soul knows how to heal things. And you can't prove the soul. There's no way to prove the soul. So in science and research, there is zero about the soul, and your soul connection could be the number one thing that's actually causing the problem or not. Your soul connection or not. So the framework as to how you think healing is working is a really big deal, because you could just be proving something that is one small component when there's way many other components that are way more important for healing that thing. It's so interesting because I've been following in detail all of the research on dementia since we've got a whole center for dementia and website, soundfordementia.com. And there's all these different things from vitamins to a full range of how you might the plaque might be the problem, how there's like even the actual the way that the brain actually detoxes. I mean, there's all type, and it's so interesting to look at all this, 'cause, and they may all be right, they may be contributing, but nobody knows for sure the overall framework to actually know which one of those is the real thing. Here's another problem. To be able to prove something really specifically, let me put it this way. My brother's son was one of the top people in the CDC during the vaccine. Oh my God. And I didn't get a vaccine, so he wouldn't even talk to me. But I asked him by email. I said, I just talking about sound. And then also I knew a few people that died right after getting the vaccine. And he wrote me back and said, no one has ever been hurt by a vaccine ever. No one has ever died from a vaccine. And I'm like, how could you say that? Well, scientifically, there's no way to prove that the vaccine was what did it. It could have been other things, right? The fact that it happened within a week after the vaccines, not exact proof. So scientifically, again, because of the whole thing of more than one variable, there's no way to prove scientifically that was the problem. Same as not being able to prove if something is the thing that heals it. So here's one way that you can do it that's really interesting with sound that I've thought about. You could do a treatment on a specific issue. So you pin down the person's issue and you don't have to even do an assessment, just have them tell you. Maybe they did do something at the doctor that proved they had the issue, but most people know what issues they have, and you can still go on that. And then you do the treatment with all different instruments, all different sounds, tuning forks, voice, love, right? Wide range, I mean, tap into their soul frequency, whatever. And then you actually go, okay, which one of these seem to be the most effective for getting rid of that pain? Say they have pain. And the person you're doing the treatment on might say, well, the tuning forks were really the most effective. Okay, cool. Let's test a full range of tuning forks, sizes and frequencies. And we'll actually test frequency ranges. So we can do, tuning forks that are between 20 and 40 hertz, between 40 and 80, 80 and 160, and so forth. And we'll test those and see what frequency range for these tuning forks are working the best. And then get closer and closer and try and pin it down more and more, right, until you get the exact frequency that's working. That's still, oh my God, there's so many different types of pain, and there's different body parts that have pain. Even if it's the same pain, they may need different frequency for your toe versus your liver, right? Or your stomach. So it's still pretty tricky, but you can weed it out where you get more and more refined. So that's one way to do it. Oh, I just thought of another way that's really interesting. I've had If you, actually, if you go on the internet, you'll find many frequencies that intuitives and psychics have come up with, or muscle testing, things that aren't really scientifically accepted, right? But those can be good first steps since there's so many frequencies. I thought, let's get a room full of psychics and ask them, what's the best frequency for the heart? And then see if they agree, and whatever they come up with, let's actually then test those frequencies and see how effective it is. Unless we've got 20 years to test every frequency on every organ. Oh, I'm sorry, 20 lifetimes more so. We should get started. We should really get started, right? Because even if it took 20 lifetimes and we could actually heal every disease, oh my God, right? So this is pretty cool to be able to really do it in a way that you can actually do a shortcut. So here's some of my thoughts. One thing is to actually, I mean, with the money thing, you can also get hospitals involved. Some hospitals have things they'll let you use. But even so, instead of creating your own lab, you can actually rent out their facilities, and whether it's MRI or CAT scans or whatever. And so often hospitals are really open to actually doing the process, although it's tricky because you have to do very specific protocols so that you don't hurt anybody, and so it's not easy, but you don't have to have your own lab. Now, we're doing some research on how you can tune very specific frequencies to your brain in specific rhythms. So you can actually find your metabolism, which we do now, the brainwave assessment, and then be able to actually play music tuned to your brain for delta, for sleep, theta for creativity and oneness, alpha for learning, and then beta for thinking and overcoming ADHD, and gamma for blissing out. And Jeffrey Thompson's research shows that it's way more effective, these binaural beat rhythms, when they're tuned to where you are naturally in those different brainwave states throughout the day. So I want to play a little bit of a recording tuned to me. This is not only my note of B flat, this is my frequency of B flat, and this is my rhythm of B flat. So I took B flat and I octavized it down, or actually to change to BPM, you actually multiply by 60 to go from cycles per second or hertz up to beats per minute. And then I created a rhythm. So not only is the tuning of the song and the drone to B flat, but the rhythm is to B flat. And I listen to this almost every morning. So let me play a little bit of this and see what you think. It's for me, but it'll give you an idea of how cool it is. Okay, let me share my sound here. Okay, here comes. Let me skip forward here. Okay, check this out. I'll play about 7 or 8 minutes here.
Well, it may not have been great for you, but it was great for me. Cause, oh my God, it's so my rhythm and my note. It really centers me really well. One thing really funny, I don't know if you noticed, my kitty was kneading right in time with the music. I've never noticed that before. It's like maybe my kitty's frequency is the same frequency as mine. So the whole deal here is, how are we going to help millions of people? Well, first of all, the work that Anthony Holland is doing is massive, right? So he's got 15 frequencies that will destroy 15 types of cancer 80% of the time in the lab. But when we actually use a microscope, like a light microscope, and measure the entire frequency content of a cell, not just one frequency or two like he's working with, but you measure all the frequencies of the cell. Based on physics, we can use destructive resonance, the same thing they do with kidney stones, and explode that cancer 100% of the time. So now we're doing an assessment on the frequency of the cancer cells that a specific person has and get rid of it 100% of the time. So it'll take a little bit of research there. Right now, already, John Hopkins is actually using ultrasound on cancer cells, liver cancer. So it's in the mainstream now. And so we can actually make it way more effective where it's 100% effective with a little bit of research, not a huge amount of research, but just actually testing when we actually find all the frequencies of a cell instead of one frequency. Again, maybe there's an emotion that's causing that cancer. That's a whole nother ball game, right? But that's where we ultimately need to go, is what emotion is actually causing it. Is it fear? Is it not feeling good enough? It'll be really interesting to try to pin down that emotion. That's down the line, though, probably down the line a few lifetimes, right? Then the other thing is that we're working on is the frequencies for pain. The research shows that if you fill up a nerve with sound, nerves can only handle one piece of information, so therefore there's no more pain. So this is incredible to just simply find all the nerves that create pain, find their frequency, and be able to use either sound, electromagnetic device, infrared, whatever, use all the different levels, could use ultrasound. Or even quantum frequencies and fill up that nerve with sound and no more pain. I just had a kidney stone a couple of weeks ago. I actually used frequencies right on the ureter and it passed within an hour. Oh my God. It would be nice to know the frequency of the ureter to really get rid of the pain because kidney stones is just simply the ureter screaming, right? We could actually get rid of that pain and not have people laying in the hospital for a week, just dying. It's so horrible, right? But then we need to research every type of pain. There's about 25 different types of pain, and for anything that's a specific organ or specific, muscle or nerve, I think it's going to be very easy to find that frequency and actually be able to get rid of the pain 100% of the time. Things that are like fibromyalgia or a systemic pain, those are going to be take a longer time and may take a while to actually figure out. But we could probably get rid of at least 50 to 70% of all pain within a year. That's huge. God kind of blew it with the pain thing. Okay, we need to know there's something wrong, but we don't need to kill people with pain, right? So that's really a big one there. But here's the another one that's really cool, and that is getting people into universal love. So we can actually do an EEG map of where your brain is, all the frequencies, which are actually rhythms of each lobe, when you're running gratitude. Most people can get into gratitude or do a little meditation, or love, right? Most people can get into love, but most people don't have a clue what universal love is. So we could do an EEG map on people that can get into universal love, and then see the relationships of all the parts and the song that's flowing across the brain as thoughts flow across the brain, and then map that to your metabolism. Right. So we could get you into universal love. And then there's oneness. I've talked about Jeffrey Martin that's got ultrasound frequencies that he can play on microtubules and get you into oneness in the lab just about every time. That's really cool. We can also do an EEG map on people that know how to, at will, get into a state of oneness. And then look at the relationships of the lobes, look at the notes of each lobe, and see how how the energy is moving across the brain, which is a song. It's playing a song, da, 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 da. And then we can map that key of that song to your metabolism and get you into oneness. This is huge. If you're one with the universe and in universal love, there's no more anxiety. There's no more depression. There's no more PTSD. We're talking about an end to all mental, emotional issues. And you're freaking blissed out, right? The only problem is, why get out of bed? Why go do anything? Because you're just blissed out. You might become homeless. But then we have classes on how to incorporate your will and your mental body to actually still use it while blissed out, the way higher beings and the way people that have gotten to a much higher level, they're doing both at the same time. They're using their willpower while in the zone to manifest things or change the world. Tricky, because the second you start desiring something, you go out of the zone of being one with the universe. So you have to be able to work it while in that zone. And that's the next big step. But we're talking again, no more mental emotional issues. This is massive. This is huge. This is really huge. But then there's the big one. So you see, what I'm talking about is figuring out how the whole system works. I mean, there's a lot of people that have done research on a certain song, right, or a certain frequency, and they say, oh, this is 50% effective for pain, or set whatever percentage. We've got tons of studies on our site if you go to soundloungecenter.com. Also, as I've mentioned, you can go to researchfoundation.org. Let me show you that one and see all these clinical papers. Here we go. Soundhealingresearchfoundation.org. Let's see. Yeah, here we are. So if you go here, Sound Healing Research Foundation, you'll see clinical research, and there's all these different, I mean, we've got over 1,000 papers here. You can click on clinical studies on anxiety around sound and music and search. And then here's all the studies for anxiety. So this is really, really cool. You can, if you want to learn about, oh my God, there's so PTSD. Here's all the ones on PTSD. And these are clinical papers. A lot of it's music, but a lot of sound as well. Also, the other thing that's really cool is we've got about 1,000 student papers. And these student papers are really cool as well. They're not clinical studies, but they're still really excellent papers. I love them. And then they're categorized as well. So you can check them out. While I'm thinking about it, also, there's another thing we have on our site here that's really cool. Not perfectly scientific, but it's made some headway. And that is, if you go to our Medical Sound Association and click on intake forms, medicalsoundassociation.com, and click on intake forms, you'll see a form that you can fill out whenever you do a treatment with sound. And you don't even have to put in the real name and email, but just put in their health concerns and check any issue, and then you can write it down and then put down the severity of the issue on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most severe. and then do the treatment, and then or write down what instrument or check which instrument you're using, and then after put the severity of the treatment after the actual treatment. Well, we've been collating this form for about 5 or 6 years now. And look, we've got 417 entries, and we've got 67.88 reduction in symptoms. That's unheard of in the medical field. That's unheard of. Again, not perfectly scientific, but it's not bad data. Even the doctors have actually been convinced by this. You can also go to a health concern and go, okay, let's look at anxiety and then do a filter for that. Well, we got 234 entries with all sound healing instruments and technology, 70% reduction of symptoms. This is massive, right? Even pharmaceuticals don't do that well. But you could go here and go, anxiety with frosted crystal bowls and filter for that. And now we got 168 entries at 69.47% reduction in symptoms. This is really cool. And you can use this data to actually put it on your site just to show how effective sound healing is. It's very cool. Now, what we're looking at doing is creating an app so that you can actually have your own version of this that will tie into the home version. So we still get all the data, but you could actually test for, okay, over, 5 minutes after the session, 3 hours after the session, 5 days after the session. So you could actually, and then test over multiple treatments, see if it's more effective. So we can actually get way more detailed based on specific issues. Because ultimately, with something like this, we can actually really start pinning down what music, what sounds, what instruments and such are the best for specific issues. So it could be very, very helpful. Okay. But then we got the big one, and that is to heal all disease in the world. Now, the framework, as you know, if you've been listening to the podcast here, is that it's all music. That musical flow through the body is the whole deal. As I was just talking about, if you don't have smooth musical flow through your circulatory system, you're going to have a heart attack. If you don't have smooth flow through your digestive system, all types of problems. We're talking about smooth flow through every one of the 11 medical systems. The muscular, endocrine gland, I mean, all the different medical systems that doctors talk about. Actually, let me show you very quickly here. So here we go. Oops. Here's all the different systems. Okay. Here we go. Nervous system, circulatory system, skeletal system, muscular, lymphatic system, especially about flow, respiratory, digestive, urinary, reproductive, endocrine, and the skin. Right. It's all. We're all talking about smooth flow. So that's the framework. Now, musical flow is based on notes or frequencies, right? Those are the notes that are flowing one after another. And the sounds, which are a combination of frequencies, and the musical intervals, they all help to create the musical flow of rhythm and melody. And there's even musical flow of energy as well. So when we start looking at the body that way, now we can, with an electron microscope, measure every frequency of every cell, all the frequencies of every cell. And then we've got the notes, and then we can use the actual metabolism of the person, which is EKG and EEG, which is their heart rate and brainwave rate and even breath rate, and extrapolate what the rhythm through each one of those 11 systems is. And now we got the song of each of the 11 systems. And then we can use needles with frequencies, ultrasound, electromagnetic pads, infrared light, and scalar waves, and run that river of flow through each of the 11 systems to break through the blockages and create health. The definition of health is smooth flow without blockages. So when we start looking at every disease that way, instead of the way it's looked at now, which is really mostly looking at it separate from other systems. The way our medical system is the way it started is to just look at the organ and not how it's a part of a larger system. Not to mention all of the frequencies of nature and your emotions and the mental body and even the spiritual body. Oh, Panda likes that one. Okay. So it's really about then using that framework to not only look at the flow systems through the whole body, but look at the flow systems within an organ, like the way the actual heart actually pumps. It's actually a little flow system to create that pump. And you can look at the flow system within cells. You could look at the flow system within the atoms these days. There's a microscope Bruce Lipton told me about that will measure the spin of the atoms. So now we're talking about a whole different framework to heal every disease there is. And then we begin or continue on the flow of emotions. Stop holding on to them. Stop doing the loop. I can't believe what they're doing. Can you believe what they're doing? I can't. Can you believe what they're doing? I can't believe what they're doing. And the flow of energy through the brain that creates focus. And ultimately, the flow of your soul in relation to your mental, emotional, and physical body. The frequency and flow of your soul, which is so important to ultimately connect to. It's so peaceful. It never wobbles. And the biggest flow of all, most important, source. Source is not only flowing, it's intelligent. So ultimately, with the right research, we find the Holy Grail and cure all mental, emotional issues and all physical issues forever. Maybe, probably not in this lifetime, but we're on the way. Oh my God. And then what are we going to do? Well, we're going to play. We're going to play, get creative, and just run more love. Oh my God. And heal relationships. Hold that energy for the rest of the evening and the weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead, and lifetimes. Thanks for listening. Take care.